Please be seated. Maybe you've had thoughts like these before. Lord, I know that not everyone could handle having $1 million, but I'd be willing to try. Or, you know, if I won millions in the lottery, I would definitely give a huge chunk to the church. Or, what is it? Why does it seem that the rich people always seem to have fun? What I wouldn't do to be rich. What is it about our culture, or better yet, our nature, that causes us to look at the rich people and wonder why them and not us? What is this fixation that we have on being rich? The text that we're considering this morning from Paul's second letter to the Christians at Corinth addresses being rich. In fact, Paul is clear that Jesus makes you rich. Hear these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of our Lord. The situation that Paul was addressing in this text revolved around an offering that was being collected for the Christians in Jerusalem. Those brothers and sisters in the faith had fallen on hard times, and so Christians from all over were gathering up an offering to help them out in this time of hardship. And so as Paul and others traveled around doing their mission work, they would be gathering these offerings from the Christians. And Paul is telling the Corinthians here about the Christians in Macedonia, farther north in Greece, themselves having fallen on hard times, that they had given generously to their fellow Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul was hoping that his words would kind of spur on the Christians in Corinth to give in a like manner. But what if they couldn't give? Maybe you've been there, completely tapped out, and a friend has an emergency and needs some cash very quickly. You feel helpless, you feel really bad, but there's really nothing you can do. But still, you scrounge around your place looking for something, looking even for a few dollars, and you come up empty-handed. You have nothing to give. Now, if we shift that situation into the spiritual realm for a moment, we see that when God comes to us and he asks us not for money, but for a perfect life, we're more than broke. We have nothing at all to offer to God because our lives are filled with greed and jealousy and resentment and anger. We're incredibly possessive of everything that we have, and we don't like that concept of sharing that much. We see someone on the street corner begging, and we're likely to think or maybe even yell, "Hey, why don't you go get a job?" The sin that we squirrel away in our hearts, the anger that is on display in our actions every day, these things are not what God wants. He wants perfection. We have less than nothing. We have only sin. Now, we don't know precisely what the financial status of the Christians in Corinth was. We do know that they had struggled quite a bit with sin. When you look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he had to point out all kinds of sin that were taking place among those Christians. Incest among those people in that congregation, divided loyalties, members wanting to take other members to court, weird and wrong ideas about marriage and celibacy. Even those who denied that Jesus rose from the dead. These were some of the problems that Paul had to address. And how could these people who were struggling with all of these sins, how could these people be expected to rise to the occasion and give generously for the Christians in Jerusalem? They seemed so poor spiritually. It didn't seem that they had anything to give. But Paul makes it very clear to them that it was possible for them to respond favorably to this request for these gifts for the Christians in Jerusalem because Jesus had made them rich. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." Now, hold on a second. Jesus, rich? He sure didn't appear that way. He said about himself in Matthew 8, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Here he was traveling around the countryside with this ragtag group of disciples, seemingly living off the generosity of others, and we're supposed to think of him as rich? But note that Paul is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God of the universe. This is the God through whom the entire universe was made, the one who sits at the right hand of God the Father. There is none richer. But he gave all of that up. As Paul said, "For your sake he became poor." The very Son of God condescended to become one of us, a human being, to come to this world filled with sin and death, to be tempted to sin in every way that we are, and finally to suffer terribly and to suffer an excruciating death in our place. This was his poverty. This was Jesus giving up everything. But he didn't give up everything for nothing. He gave it up for you. "For your sake," Paul says, "he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." You see, Jesus didn't just become poor. He didn't come to this earth and suffer and die. Just as a good example, just to show us what true sacrifice is all about, he became poor so that you would be forgiven of all of your sins, so that your death would not be your end, but it would be the gateway into eternal life in heaven. After Jesus died, you see, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, and his resurrection guarantees your resurrection from the dead. Through faith, through trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you have life. He gives you life. He gives you everything. He makes you rich. So what are you going to do with all your riches? Now, I could say that you need to tell everyone of this good news of Christ's love and forgiveness, to tell everyone that needs to hear it. But the words of Paul that we're looking at today really are more about showing Christ's love and forgiveness to everyone who needs to see it. So how can you give of yourself? How can you give of yourself as a friend? Can you defend someone's reputation? Can you be a shoulder to cry on or a willing ear to listen? Can you cheer someone up when they're down? Can you share with them, let them borrow a prized possession? Or how about as a parent? How can you give of yourself? Can you continue to be patient with your son when he keeps being disobedient? Can you love your daughter when she makes bad choices, or at least choices you wouldn't make? Can you get up at 3 a.m. for that crying baby? Or how about as an employer, or as an employee, or as a son, or as a daughter, or as a brother, or a sister, or a roommate, or a teammate? How can you give of yourself? Jesus makes you rich. Do everything you can to give of yourselves, to give of your riches to others. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Gracious Savior, in your amazing love, you humiliated yourself to rescue us from our spiritual poverty. Through your life, death, and resurrection, you have taken us poor, miserable sinners and made us your rich children. Grant us your grace so that we may continue to revel in your riches and also to share your riches as often as possible. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.